Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yeah.
And happy holidays.
We have a cute little video where we sing, right?
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Go check out our little holiday message, which is all about kind of being a non-consumer or being at least a very conscious consumer.
Because
this is the consumer holiday. This is the season for consumerism.
Check us out on YouTube.
Yeah, we're cool. So it's kind of like the end of the year. We thought maybe we'd just sort of riff a little bit up front about some of our favorite things and some of the highlights of our year, right?
Absolutely.
Going back.
You start.
Well, you know how Facebook has this, you know, this happened, you know, this day last year, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of weeks, all these things have been popping up from our launch of GDGD Radio.
Right.
Because we formally launched it in January 2015.
I know. That was a pretty exciting time, and it continues to get even more exciting.
Well, you know, I mean, it gets interesting, right?
We've got some great shows on there.
We do.
And we've got more coming up.
We have some exciting stuff that's going to be happening in the next couple of months, so...
Yeah, and GDGD Radio has Earth Matters with Bill Curtis. We were able to meet him on Earth Day. That was a great Earth Day because you were in town.
Yeah, that was a fun Earth Day. I have never done Chicago on Earth Day, man.
Or better than doing Dallas.
Or Earth Week.
Right.
And right in between that, we had gone to California, too.
We did. That was fun. And then we went to California again just recently.
Yeah, we are spoiled green
divas.
Did
we offset those miles yet? Offset our carbon footprint. We gotta do that.
Mostly, yeah.
Terrapass.
Yeah, we're you know, trying to make hay with our West Coast when we go out west, right? We met
right.
with Ed Begley and Rainbow Mars and Priscilla Woolworth and some of our really cool LA friends.
Yeah, you can't beat California.
Can't beat it with a stick,
I
man.
That's like probably where I'm supposed to be living.
Yeah, you seem like a California girl. You definitely do.
Yeah. One of the more natural, hippie kinds.
Well, as long as, you know, it's not... The earth isn't shaking too hard, I can kind of...
Well, that's the only thing that worries me.
It's a little bit disconcerting.
And the wildfires.
A little disconcerting, yeah.
It's hard to... Is that a trade-off for all this cold weather in Chicagoland? I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. No, I could see you in California for sure.
Yeah, if nothing else, I'll just be visiting there as often as possible.
Take up surfing. You could be a surfer girl.
That was my fear of sharks. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Oh, my God. So, you know, and then the summer, you know, we did a lot of other work. We didn't have anything super extraordinary, except we always end up talking to the coolest people.
Yeah, we who'd we talk to in the summer?
No idea. I think we did. We talked. I was going to say we did Paul Hawken, but he probably wouldn't appreciate it.
Then we talked. You talked to Marilla Hemingway in
yeah,
June, I think or at least she was on the show in June.
Yes,
Robin O'Brien.
Robin O'Brien. I had another talk with Catherine Hayhoe.
She's a climate scientist.
Yeah, we always manage to have interesting stuff happening. But in the fall again, I got to go to the WECAN event, the Women Environmental and Climate Action Network.
Mm-hmm.
They had that UN event where I finally met Ronnie Citron Fink from...
Yeah, we've been talking to her for a while.
And some other women from... Moms Clean Air Force, but that was a very powerful event about women getting ready to go to Paris for these mm-hmm. recent climate talks, which obviously have culminated in some kind of agreement, which, you know, albeit not perfect, I'm sure, it
mm-hmm.
all feels like it's a big step that every, you know, that the there's not much talk of climate denial at this point.
Well, definitely not when you're in Paris.
No, but I think that, you know, that the heads of state are putting their heads together and saying we really have to, they're recognizing the fact that this is a huge issue that has to be dealt with.
Yeah, let's hope it keeps moving in a forward direction.
Exactly. So that'll be important in this upcoming year as we Americans are going to go to the polls and hopefully, you know, make some wise choices.
Well, we are the largest group of climate deniers.
And polluters.
And polluters.
So, yeah, it's up. We gotta make it happen. The other thing we got to do this year is be a media partner and sponsor of Green Festivals.
I know, that was very exciting. You were able to attend the Green Fest in San Francisco, and then just recently you were in Portland.
Yeah, and in San Francisco, I think we did that show like a month ago. That was about a month ago. I met some great people. It was good. I haven't been to a Green Fest in quite a few years, so it was good to kind of get back in the swing with that show. And then I was just in Portland this past weekend, as a matter of fact. And despite the relentless, cold, freezing, pouring rain, which I know is not Portland's fault, the show was great, and I got a chance to speak. And we headed up a panel with some really cool folks, Laura and Todd Mansfield,
right,
who are media people, all about how new media can change the world. And, you know, we had some really interested and interesting interactive audience folks, so it was a good panel. It's a good panel.
Yeah, I wish I was there to experience the whole thing.
Well, you would have been on stage, man, having fun.
Exactly.
So anyway, Portland, you know, I mean, all my life I have never been to Portland, Oregon, and everybody has said to me, what? You have not been to Portland, Oregon? I'm like, no. And I'm just going to say, if it weren't raining so hard, I probably would have gotten to see more of it. But I had no idea how many friends I have out there. You know, this whole social media world where, well, that's how we met.
Yeah, I know.
Before we met in person. And I mean, when I got
it's
there,
so great for networking.
You know, Tamara Rubin, Lead Safe America, gave me a big hug. Well, she invited me to stay in her home. She was so kind. And met her family, got to meet Paul Smith and his wife, Vanessa, who was doing readings, and you know, psychic readings at Tamara's booth. So it was kind of fun. I got a reading. Also got a massage at Tamara's booth. That was, I'm telling you,
that was the place to be.
That was the booth. She was very smart to do it that way. Very popular booth. But I got to see Kristen Arnett. I spent a lot of time with Kristen Arnett, and we got some segments. You're going to hear one today on this show, Eco Style segment. She moved back to Portland after being here in New York for a while, and she carted me around, took me to a fabulous vegan. I mean, really.
I'm jealous.
I'm already craving this food. It was so good, Lynn. Oh, my God. And I guess she said that is kind of an easy one of the things about Portland. There's a lot of great, healthy, vegan, local, organic, you know, restaurants. This one was called Blooming Lotus, and don't know. I'll be dreaming about this incredible, like, potato hash with cashew cheese. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. So, anyway, I got to hang out with Kristen, the Mansfields, Lisa Sylvie, you know, carted me around and showed me around quite a bit on Sunday before I got on the plane.
Yeah, look at it.
I got to go to their equivalent of, like, the Rockefeller Center thing with the tree is Pioneer Square, I think it's called. I'm not sure, but they had a big tree. So there I am with my umbrella. If you go on my Instagram, you see me under a giant tree with an umbrella. You know, we tried. So there are hardy folks out there, and, you know, there are people. So
people who need people are the luckiest people.
Singing Lynn.
In the world.
And we take a break to hear this special message from Lynn. That's funny. So then we got a couple of other segments in this show. We have a foodie file with Allie on organic honey.
My neighbor.
And friend. Yes, our wonderful Allie Hoffman. And an inspired Green Divas with our mojo maven gal, Jenny G. Perry, about stress. Because this can be a very stressful time of year for people, right?
Yeah, slightly.
So, don't stress. Sit back.
I'm going to have to listen to that maybe about 11 times at least.
There you go, Lynn. So, you know, just buckle up and enjoy the rest of the ride. And you know what? Have an awesome 2016.
Happy holidays.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Well, it's been a while since I've gotten a chance to speak with our fabulous Green Diva Allie Hoffman, our Green Diva Green Thumb gardener extraordinaire. And I had the opportunity to be in her beautiful home and meet her husband and her dogs and see her garden, which was in early spring. I think I didn't see the best of that garden, but it was still lovely. Hi, Allie. How are you?
Hi, Meg. It's so nice that you said you were being in our garden.
Oh.
Since we're going to be talking about honey.
Now, do you have honey? And I don't honeybees, and I don't think I saw them when I was there.
We have the honeybees. We don't have a lot. We just have one hive right now, but they're over by the shed.
Okay.
Over by, I call it the farm part of the garden. It's over by the chickens and the vegetable garden. That's the.
I didn't see any chickens either, so we've got a lot to catch up on. But let's focus.
Yeah.
Let's focus, because I already told you I have chicken envy, but that's another segment. So let's talk about honey and what it means, like organic honey. What does that mean?
Well, it's funny because I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, I want to make sure that I'm buying raw honey. And I said, well, you know, the honey that I give to people, I don't sell my honey, but that I give to people is raw honey. And most of what you're buying in the grocery store, you have to be really careful of because you're not sure it's raw.
Right.
And if it is labeled organic, that doesn't mean anything either.
Right.
And people think that because something has an organic label, that it is organic, and that's not necessarily true.
Right. Well, yeah. So explain.
The reason for that is that there is not a USDA standard for organic honey.
Aha.
There is honey can be labeled and sold as USDA certified honey if a certifier, that is, it's an outsourced thing by the government. There are certain companies that do the certification, and there's a set of standards that the honey needs to have been produced following these standards.
Okay.
So the location, the colonies have to be no closer than 4 miles from an area where there's a risk of contamination for chemicals.
Right, right. That's pretty hard to achieve, isn't it?
I couldn't achieve that.
No.
I live on 3 acres, and I have only organic treatment of every bit inch of my property.
Right.
However, my neighbors are not 3 acres away, and my bees can go for 4 miles away.
Yep.
So I automatically am outlawed against saying that. I mean, I don't think I could certify my honey as organic.
Right, right, unless you could some
materials. Yeah. The beehives can only be constructed of natural material. Only the outside of the beehives can be painted. No lead-free paint. I mean, only lead-free paint
right.
can be used.
Right.
They can't just use the old leftover paint that's in the garage.
Right.
No plastic frames can be used. There's restriction on the types of chemicals that can be used because there's all kinds of chemicals that are used to try to protect them and maintain their health.
Yeah.
But there's certain types that you have to use and certain types that you're not allowed to use. And only certain types of materials can even be used in the smokers.
Wow.
You can't use synthetic materials in the smokers. And so I had one of the first year I was a beekeeper, and I took classes from somebody who made a distinction between beekeepers and beehavers. Because he's a guru in the beekeeping industry, And he said that there are a lot of people jumping in because it's fun to play around with this, but it's very important that people take this seriously, even if you're just a hobbyist and have one or two hives like me and a lot of my friends. Mm. You have to treat it seriously because you put everybody else at risk if you're not handling things properly.
Interesting.
And so he taught us that beekeeping means that you have to check your hive and you have to make sure that you're treating them responsibly. And one of the things I did was follow a book that said you need to do thus and such treatment at thus and such time of year,
right,
to make sure that they won't get Varroa mites. Well, we did that, and we ended up running our bees off.
Oh.
So we lost, they absconded is what it's called, and they probably died because they wouldn't have had time to make a hive. So
Right. That's
an example of what not to do. So then we said, well, we're going to only use organic methods from here out.
Yeah.
And if we lose our bees, it's not going to be because we poisoned them and offended them and ran them off.
Right, so, right.
Anyway, organic honey is when you're not using those kinds of chemicals. There are some things that you can do that you can use to try to keep them healthy, but there's a whole group of people that are practicing organic honey making, but it's very hard to get organic honey that's certified.
Well, but it sounds like the standards are actually pretty good. Like, those are all issues that would run through my mind, like what materials are being used, what are they exposed to, and, you know.
But you're probably just as safe. And there are people that are using that label that aren't following any of those standards.
Mm.
There's testing that's been done where that standard has been applied on a label where it's actually been adulterated with corn syrup.
Oh, no.
So you're probably safer to find the local beekeeping society or a neighbor that keeps bees, or go to Trader Joe's that, as far as I know, is still selling raw honey that's got pollen in it.
Yeah.
You really want to buy honey from a local person.
Yeah.
Go to the farmer's market, buy it from somebody that's a local beekeeper.
Yep.
And if it's raw honey, which means it hasn't been heated, because they do pasteurize honey.
Yes.
But what you really want is stuff that's been filtered just at the biggest level. I mean, you probably don't want to eat a lot of bee parts.
Right.
Put it through one filter, but you're going to have pollen in it. It's not going to be pure and clear if it's raw.
Yep.
The pollen is an important part. So anyway, I think raw, it's going to be filtered, but not finally filtered. That's another level, you know, of distinction. It's probably going to be even better for you. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor or anything, but I think you have to be really careful about where you buy your honey.
Yeah, and I'm very lucky because I have one of the best beekeepers in northern New Jersey as a friend and nearby. And I just go to, she has a little honey shack, and, you know, I go and...
I think that's who you want to buy from.
Yep.
Or if you have a neighbor like Lynn, Green Diva Lynn, has got me across the street, she can just say, oh, I'm about to run out of honey. And so then I, you know, from our hive, we get 25 or 30 pounds a year.
Wow.
Honey to give to our friends.
That's a lot of honey.
It's a lot of honey. Those bees really work hard.
They do.
So,
they do. Yeah. Wow.
So organic honey, be careful, you know.
Well, I'm grateful. I really didn't know all of that. So good to know. Thank you, Green Diva Allie. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Green Diva. Thanks.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
I'm Ed Begley, and you're listening to the Green Divas Radio Show, the entertaining source for low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green and take action for the earth.
No one ever said you had to give up style to be a Green Diva. Or dude, check out this Green Diva's EcoStyle segment for all the latest trends in sustainable, ethical, gorgeous EcoStyle. Okay, so the lovely Kristen Arnett, Green Beauty Team, among other things, right? You have other titles. We are sitting in unusually rainy Portland, which actually is normally rainy a little bit, but not like this. So we've had some fun tromping through the streets. We had a delicious vegan meal. And anyway, I'm going to edit all my shit out here. So let's just ask, Kristen about what it's like to move from New York back to Portland.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the Green Divas show. It's always such a pleasure. I moved back from New York to Portland after 10 years almost of being away because this truly was the city that opened my eyes in terms of living sustainably. And it's the place where I first got my feet wet because, not because of the rain. It's extra rainy today. Even the Portlanders are upset about it, but normally it's just a little light mist. This is a city that supports sustainability within the private community. It's fantastic to go into restaurants and they practice composting actively. And you know that the ingredients are sourced locally and sustainably. And you can ask where food came from. And 9 times out of 10, your server can tell you exactly where it is from and, you know, how wonderful it is.
I have a quick question. So Portlandia, the show, which I've really only seen clips of, how do Portlanders feel about Portlandia?
Well, I can't speak for all of Portlanders. I can speak for myself. I was so excited when the show was going to come out and I kept seeing the trailers and so much of it was on point. But then they do take it to this level of sort of extreme humor, which doesn't really resonate. But when they do pinpoint the typical stereotypical Portland experience, it's hilarious because you can go into a restaurant like this famous chicken scene and say, "Where is my chicken from?" And they'll tell you exactly and what the chicken was fed. And it's, but have I been to a hippie commune afterwards to go see the chicken itself and then turn into some sort of weird wacky situation like they do? No, but it's funny nevertheless.
So now you are a beauty and style expert, especially natural beauty and clean, non-toxic beauty and makeup and skincare. So tell us how that's translating here with your work here in Portland.
What's interesting about Portland is that people don't wear a lot of makeup, but they are concerned about beauty. And every time I say what my specialty is, oh, well, this is the place to be for that. That's sort of the response. Because the surrounding areas are very much about natural beauty. People embrace the nature that's around here. And again, this attitude of sustainability adds to the consciousness of what people are putting in their bodies and how it's affecting the environment. So eventually that trickles to what they're putting on their faces. And while they are not heavy makeup wearers here in Portland, people are excited about what I do and this information. And just in a very small radius in downtown Portland are 3 separate beauty shops selling natural cosmetics, which I think is so exciting.
That is cool. So you've only been here back a couple of months. You used to live here, you told me. Contrast with your New York experience to Portland, because it's got to be like completely, completely different.
Yeah, the vibe here is totally different. The stress level here is totally different. I mean, the sad thing is that there are a lot of people moving here, and I kind of blame Portlandia in a way, and all these wonderful things that keep coming out about Portland being one of the best cities to live in the U.S. that's getting a little New York, actually, where it's disrupting the livability in terms of how much rents cost, how much homes are being sold for. And that was one of the things that brought me back here was the quality of life that one could have being an artist and a writer. And I really want to focus on my writing and speaking and educational platform of Green Beauty Team. And I feel more inspired here because there's not such a hubbub around. And yet that's the thing that is bringing the people, I think, always into artist communities, into small communities, who then drive those prices and that way of life a little bit further and further out.
So
tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you next. Like, what are your plans now that you've settled in with all your cats and your new digs? Tell us what's on the horizon for Kristen and the Green Beauty team.
I'm very excited for 2016 because my whole purpose for moving here was to dedicate all of my resources to producing content that really, really matters for people who are interested in this topic of clean, healthy beauty, and to create events with different people around the country, particularly in places where people may not have access to physical stores where they can go touch and feel things, and they don't have access maybe to experts like myself who have typically been either in LA or New York. So it's to widen the scope of the education and to provide people with super valuable resources that they've been begging me for a long time, and I haven't had the energy, time, capacity to create while being a full-time makeup artist, living in New York, traveling internationally. So it was my way of hunkering down to concentrate my efforts.
I hear a Green Diva, Green Beauty team road trip in the works here. Events? Oh, this would be so much fun. Well, I've really enjoyed spending some time with you. And any last words you want to talk to our audience about today?
I think wherever you are and whatever community you're in, there's a way for you to live sustainably and in the way that inspires other people. That's what makes Portland so exciting, is that the community comes together to create the change they want to see. And we all have to be the leaders in our small and big communities for that.
Bravo, sister. Want to have sexy Green Diva style too? And learn more about low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green? Visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Green Festival Expo is the longest-running sustainability event in the U.S. and the largest one, with over 250 exhibitors and over 50 inspirational speakers. Dine on delicious local vegan or vegetarian food, take a free yoga class, and more in San Francisco, November 13th through 15th, and Portland, Oregon, December 11th through 13th. Visit greenfestivals.org.
It may seem like a fad from the early days of the green movement, but the concept of reduce, reuse, and recycle goes back thousands of years. More on that after this.
There's nothing like hot dogs on the grill, but as a mom, I have to be concerned about quality. That's why I buy Tall Grass Beef hot dogs, 100% grass-fed beef, nothing artificial, gluten-free, and voted number one in taste by New York Magazine. If you want to give your family a great-tasting hot dog and one that's good for them, then your choice should be Tall Grass Beef hot dogs. Easy to buy online at tallgrassbeef.com or ask for them at your favorite supermarket. Tall Grass Beef hot dogs, the healthy alternative. Buy them online at tallgrassbeef.com.
There is archaeological evidence that glass was recycled during the Byzantine Empire, and that Romans recycled bronze coins into statues that were worth more than the money was originally. Before modern mass production, it was a common practice to reuse items as long as possible because it was cheaper in the long run. During the war years, every piece of scrap had value. Post-World War II, the new prosperity brought with it a glut of products that all of a sudden became disposable as America's mindset changed and the throwaway mentality became normal. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. It's pretty simple. I'm Bill Curtis, and Earth Matters.
There are people in this world that just sparkle with an almost magical and radiant energy, leaving a wake of good stuff wherever they go. We just love meeting and talking with these folks who inspire us to be better, do better. Okay, back in the studio with our favorite, I love the moniker of Mojo Expert. That's hilarious. Jenny G. Perry is just this bundle of energy and light, and she's a green diva, an inspired green diva, to be sure. And today, we're going to talk a bit about stress. Like, you know, we're sitting around talking about these various topics that we should cover, and, you know, yeah, I mean, what I said to her was, I think we get used to, in this culture that we're in currently, living under a certain level of stress is acceptable. We're used to it. We don't realize we're in it. And it's almost like I feel guilty when I don't have it. How about that?
Look at that. Right? I could go there.
Uh-huh. How about that?
You know, what's funny I read about that is that whole I hate the word busy. I always say I have a big life because when you say busy, it's like a bee buzzing around. Like, yeah. And it's the hamster wheel. Like you can never feel like you can do enough. And what I think of with stress is somebody had written about how we are constantly always busy because it makes us feel alive.
Oh, we're human doings.
Yes. And when we're still, it reminds us of death. And I don't know who said that. If it was Dr. Wayne Dyer or I can't remember who I read that from. But I was like, I never thought about stillness as feeling like death. I don't really feel like that. But I understand the feeling of being busy, how you do feel alive and productive and, you know.
Well, I think for some people, there's a certain amount of chaos in their sort of subconscious and they don't want in the minute that they stop. Because before, I'd say 30 years ago, before I really got on a sort of healthy, well, for me, it was recovery. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff in there that if I stopped, I used to always have a radio. I slept with a radio or TV on because I could not handle the silence because then all this stuff would start coming up. And I was so afraid of it. Well, hey, just lived to tell you that there's nothing that scary in there. It's all really cool, but
you know,
it takes a little work.
It does. And I remember a time where if I was by myself and I wasn't busy watching TV or whatever, this negative self-talk that would be happening. I'll never forget like getting into Abraham Hicks and Law of Attraction stuff, being in my laundry room and hearing all the stuff I was telling myself. And I'm like, okay, if I continue to think this way, it's just going to draw in all these negative thoughts and I don't want to do that. So I'm just going to stop. And I'm not saying stop like you need to distract yourself constantly because that's in
it's
the way of
doing thing,
that's
yeah.
the way of numbing yourself like with food or mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you get to stop and like just observe, be aware. Like, okay, let me just feel what's feeling. And the emotions we're afraid of feeling, if we just let them, if we feel them for just a second, then we let them pass. Like this morning, I had so much anger that something was going on. I had all this anger. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm just going to sit with this and just see what happens. And like it passed. And I was like, okay, so now I'm going to shift to the place of what I want to feel and like solutions. Because when you're in the anger, there's no solutions in the anger.
No,
none.
No, that's like last night I went through all of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross stages of
grief.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, I felt like I had a some news come through my phone at 11 o'clock. How annoying is that,
right?
Oh, my
goodness.
And then I was like, and I went from like panic, negotiating, being bummed out, acceptance, you know, the whole thing, like within an hour. And then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to be productive with this. I'm going to kind of put this in my higher power's hands. And I'm going to go read something. And I did have to use distraction techniques.
Yeah, but that's, to me, that's surrender. That's the letting go and letting God. Because sometimes you're like, okay, nothing's happening right now. I don't have the solution.
Right.
And it's, what is that? The Einstein, like you can't come up with the solution at the same level as the problem. Yeah. And that's the thing is that sometimes you're like, I don't know what it is, but I am definitely not going to figure
true.
It out.
That's true. Right. My vibration was like a little bit dragged
down. And you also have to talk to the right people.
Yeah.
Because if you have people in your life that are more low vibe or negative and you talk to them about a problem, talk about erupting that into way more.
Yeah, it's sort of like it expands, right?
It does. Mm-hmm. It, that's why if something happens, it's one thing if you need to get feedback from somebody about something that happened. But if you tell like 25,000 people, then you're generating that, you know, drama.
Yeah.
But with stress, I feel like the overwhelm comes in and we get paralyzed. And a lot of people live in that state where they lack clarity too, because stress is just like it's a paralyzing emotion.
It is.
So with overwhelm, I feel like the things you need to tell yourself are just like, okay, take a deep breath. I'm doing the best that I can and this will pass. Everything passes. I won't stay in the state forever.
I think that's really important because
I think
that is one of the paralyzing factors is that you're like, oh my God, this is like permanent. This is hell and it's
well,
forever.
That's like, it's like in childbirth. You like have to tell yourself like after five times I was like, okay, this is not going to last forever. I know this doesn't last forever. And that's at least it lets you get from one moment to the next. Like that's because you do. You feel like I'm always going to feel this way because it's just kind of that state of fear when you're in stress. It you lack clarity. You completely do. And the other thing about stress is that I don't care how much money you have. If you're in a constant level of stress, you need to schedule time for yourself, whether it's to meditate, whether it's to get a manicure, whether it's to go for a walk in nature. Like you absolutely need to schedule yourself on the calendar. And me and Kim were talking about this before on the ride, how you need physical activity because being in front of a computer, all the EMIs, and also not exercising, you get that stagnant energy in your body. A lot of people sit there for hours, like 8 hours plus. You need the prana, the life force, the chi to flow through you. Mm-hmm. So I don't care if you go for a walk around your block or you dance to your favorite song, just one song. Get the energy flowing because that is a stress reliever. They say exercise is you know, better than Prozac, right?
Well, and I... Thank you. And it is. And I, you know, I sit at a computer pretty much all day, you know, and most of the night. So one of the things that I developed for myself was a routine in the morning where I start with meditation and prayer and grounding. And then I throughout the day, I break, walk the dog. I do yoga. Usually I do yoga in the morning when I do my prayer and meditation thing. And then, dog walk, dog walk, dog walk. And then there's this thing called stretch clock that Lynn discovered. And you set it to your computer. So for anybody who's sitting at a computer, you literally, it comes up every hour. And it gives you like a two minute stretch.
Mm, and you just, I like that.
Anything, you could do it in an office setting. So it's all very simple stretching. But it's good because it really makes a difference.
Oh, my goodness.
And then. And one other thing is I did develop a meditation, 20-minute guided meditation for people who want to unplug because it's so hard to unplug from all this stuff.
We do. It's like how many times do we check the internet and it's it kind of gets insane. Like I wasn't on my phone because we were driving up and I'm like, I have 121 emails. And it's like, what? How?
Like, I get like 300 an hour.
I just wanted like set fire to my email. Can we all just do that?
Yes.
But the other thing about stress, this is a huge thing in our society, is that people will ground with food. Because at the end of the day, they're trying to raise their vibration. They go to the food. It's subconscious. They don't even realize it. It's not just because we might be hungry, but also we associate like treats as a kid with food.
Yeah. So and treat yourself.
And also being in front of the computer, we get disconnected from our body. So we're trying to do something that's physical, but that's when we need to exercise. We need to go out in nature, like absorb the energy from the trees, you know, go barefoot if you can. Anything that's going to put you back into your body instead of like too floaty. Yeah, if you've ever been in front of the computer for too long working on a project, you know how that goes. You're just like, you start to lose brain power.
Video editing and editing audio. Tell me. But video editing is the worst because it's like 5 hours. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to kill somebody. And then I show it to somebody and they're like, oh, I would change that. And I'm like, no, I'm done. It's not life or death. I'm not changing it.
Exactly. And then you feel so spacey. And you're just like, oh, I don't even know my own name.
Yeah. So, but the overwhelm thing, we had a saying called move a muscle, change a thought, like when you're frozen. And then the other thing that floated through my mind when you were talking was this Pema Chodron. Because if you know Pema Chodron, she, I had a mentor, a spiritual mentor, who every time I was like really, really anxious or freaking out or angry, she'd be like, oh, well, Pema Chodron says blah, 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 blah. And it was always basically sit still and meditate no matter what it is. And it does pass. And it's been a brilliant learn. It's taken me years of practice to get to the point where I could be in a near rage and sit down and be like, okay, not say bad words in my head.
Exactly. But when you first hear that, you're like, well, it's easy for a Buddhist monk to say that when they don't live my life, you know? And that's the one thing a lot of people will say is they make excuses for why they're unhappy and they hold on to it for dear life. Mm. Why they're stressed. Like, I'm just so used to it this way, so I'm going to hold on to it. And I have every right to be stressed. And it's like, okay, well, if you want to own it, that's fine.
So I'm going to tell our audience that we give them, Jenny, it comes from Jenny G. Perry and Green Diva Meg, you have permission to be less stressed.
Yes.
You do not need to live in a constant level of stress. And I'm speaking to myself when I listen to this podcast.
I love it. Relax.
All right, folks, chill out. We hope you're feeling the sparkle. Go out there and light up the world. As Dante said, even a little spark may burst a flame. For more inspiration, visit thegreendivas.com and listen for this and other shows on ggdradio.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. If you had the choice, would you prefer clean energy or electricity from fossil fuels? Most people would prefer clean energy, but relatively few take the time to sign up. Behavioral scientists believe they found a way to help people act in ways more consistent with their own values.
We identified a mechanism that dramatically improves the participation rates of green energy in Germany.
That's researcher Sebastian Berger of the University of Bern in Switzerland. He evaluated German consumers' energy choices and found that when they were given the option to sign up for a green energy plan, only 7% chose to opt in. But when they were enrolled automatically and given the choice to opt out, 70% elected to keep the clean energy plan. In Germany, the prices of fossil fuel and clean energy are about the same. So more research is needed to determine if consumer choices will be similar in places like the U.S., where clean energy is sometimes more expensive. However, it shows that we need more than just new technologies to make the transition to a clean energy future.
There's a lot of work for behavioral scientists to do in this field. And we can tackle important challenges for society.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
For those that know me well, and even those that don't know me very well, it is somewhat shocking that I had never been to Portland, Oregon until now. The Green Divas are proud sponsors and media partners of Green Festivals and had the honor of heading up a panel at the first ever Green Festival Expo in Portland, Oregon, just this past weekend. I just so happened to have some amazing Green Diva and Dude friends in Portland, so I rallied and flew out there for this event, which, you know, was sort of an excuse to meet some of these up till now virtual Green Diva and Dude friends. So our panel was on how new media can change the world. And isn't it? It really is. Panelists Laura and Todd Mansfield rocked the stage with their amazing experience. And poor green dude Paul Smith got a nasty bug that kept him from joining us. Sorry, Paul. You were missed. The audience was remarkably interested and interactive, and a good time was had by all. Then right around the corner from the main stage was the amazing Tamara Rubin, filmmaker and founder of Lead Safe America.
I'm at Greenfest Portland PDX, the first one ever, and I'm standing here with one of our dear friends who I finally got to meet in person, Tamara Rubin, who is a filmmaker and an activist, Lead Safe America. Tamara, tell us a little bit about yourself and how the show's going for you.
Let's see, I live in Portland, so that makes this very easy. This is the first time we've actually been able to have a booth where we could bring everything we needed, because otherwise I have to fit everything in a suitcase. So it's been a lot of fun. We have free X-ray fluorescence spectrometer readings of consumer goods happening, and that's a lot of fun. And the booth has been mobbed with people. And one of the people ask, you know, how I'm doing things differently and how come I'm reaching so many families. And one of the ways I'm doing it is I have a lead poisoning prevention booth, and we're offering free massage and free intuitive readings and also free XRF testing and free lead paint test kits for people to bring home. So it's about just engaging people and having fun at the same time while educating about a really important issue.
Tamara had the popular booth with a massage therapist and psychic reader. Thank you. I got a reading and a massage. And the reader, by the way, Vanessa Smith, is Paul Smith, our panelist guy's wife. Small world, really, right? So cool. So Tamara also was testing items for lead, and it is actually really scary what still has high levels of lead in it. She has a little device that she was testing for free. People at the show could bring stuff over. She was testing my necklace and, you know, all kinds of things that you don't necessarily think about. And by the way, our Green Diva tote bag, which is organic with soy-based paints, but you never know, was tested and it's clean. Yay! Met another soul sister in the coffee shop at the convention center, Kim Marks, who not only works for Greenpeace, who we are partnering with to do a co-branded segment in 2016. Stay tuned for that. Pretty exciting stuff. But Kim has her own eco-sexy store in Portland.
I'm Kim Marks. I own As You Like It, the pleasure shop, and As You Like It Organics. And I'm at the Green Festival to launch my organic pleasure wear line. We have organic body butters, which you can put on where you want to be licked or kissed, or do flavored kisses with them. And they're USDA and Organtil certified organic, no sugar, made with stevia in Eugene, Oregon. And then our organic massage oils. We're a Eugene company, and we just opened our doors. Actually, a year ago tomorrow, we did a soft launch on our storefront. It's this time last year, we were still putting final touches of paint on our building. People are really surprised to know that there's a different quality of lubricants out there, for example, and that not all lubricants are equal or necessarily safe for your body. So people have been pretty surprised in taking the literature and the information, and also having fun exploring with some of our body safe vibrators that we have here too. So
really?
It's
people are exploring them here.
Well, you know, with their hands and their imagination.
Okay.
They can buy our products online, and that's at asyoulikeitshop.com. They can also come into our store in Eugene, and occasionally we are at trade shows like this.
Kristen Arnett is one of our very favorite eco-style green divas and founder of Green Beauty Team. She came and scooped me up from my hotel. She should have had a boat, but we managed in her car. I'm sorry, it did rain kind of relentlessly. And even though Portlanders are sort of used to rain, it's not usually quite this heavy. So everybody was a little bit tired of the rain. Anyway, she scooped me up to show me. She was just so determined to show me how cool and awesome Portland is. And it didn't take much to convince me as I saw some of the shops and restaurants and the murals as we passed only a short distance from the hotel. We landed at one of the best vegan restaurants I've ever eaten in, which, according to Kristen and others, is not that unusual in Portland. This one's called Blossoming Lotus. I don't think Kristen's a vegan, but she knew that I'm an almost vegan. I call myself a chegan because I do cheat with cheese from time to time. I'm sorry. I'm really trying. Anyway, we were both super impressed with this local organic delicious food that we got there. So then back to Green Festival Expo. I had a lot of fun wandering through the aisles, just filled with cool people, products for planet and health with Kristen. It was almost overwhelming, but we came across passionate, interesting folks like Tracy of Barefoot Athletic.
My name is Tracy Strandis, and I'm the owner and founder of Barefoot Athletic Company, which is an eco-friendly athletic apparel and accessories company, which is in support of what we see as the athlete in everyone. We came to the Green Festival's Expo to share our products because they are eco-friendly. We have 100% organic cotton tees and beanies and tanks, recycled poly and bamboo performance wear, and recycled shorts, stainless steel water bottles, eco-friendly sports jewelry to help people celebrate their passions. Beauty products you could throw into your gym bag, just things that you can wear that are comfy, easy on the environment, and will inspire you to live your best life. Yeah, it's been, we're hoping for a few more attendees, but we're really happy to be here. And honestly, selfishly, we get to meet a lot of really cool eco people too. So, right. And it's just always fun to introduce our products and to talk with people about our mission. So we are actually a social enterprise and we do give back. That's part of kind of why we were founded too. So help people find their inner strength and give back to causes we are passionate about. We are online at www.barefootac.com. You can buy online. Yes, absolutely. Call, email, look us up online, and we're happy to accommodate special orders. We sponsor teams. We do all sorts of things, and we like to think outside the box. So we're always happy to hear from people.
So thank you, Corinna, Rob, Marielle, and all of the Green Festivals team for putting on a great show despite the relentless rain, and for hosting our panel discussion. Looking forward to more fun throughout the country and hopefully Portland again in 2016.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.